It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe we're in the new decade. Today is January 4th or 5th, depending on when you're listening to this. Big shout out to all my running friends who ran the Millennium Mile, part of the Delta Dental Points Chase series. It officially, even though it was in Wednesday, January 1st, and it, which is 2020, of course, but it officially counted to the 2019 Points Chase series, and so there were a lot of healthy competition. The great thing about the Millennium Running Series, some slowpoke like me can actually be competitive because if you don't miss any races, you continue to rack up points. So the next race of the Millennium Mile Series is later on in January in Bedford, and that'll start the 2020 series. So again, a big shout out to my running friends for coming out on January 1st. At least it didn't sleep. Now, usually when you get to the new year, you talk about New Year's resolutions and diet. So we thought we would bring on the very well-acclaimed Shauna Bedard, who works with at Concord Hospital, to talk about healthy eating tips for the new year. But Shauna, let's first talk about your background. Obviously, you're educated in this field. So I always ask when I see an accomplished professional like yourself, like when you were a little person, did you always think you would get into this field, or how did it come across? Because when you were at Clemson, you did get your Bachelor of Science in Food Science. So at a relatively early age, it seemed like you had some interest in healthy eating.
Yes. Hi, Tom. Happy New Year. It was interesting when I went to Clemson, I actually went for animal science.
Oh, really?
I actually didn't go for nutrition. Yeah. And I think being in sports and a three-sport athlete in high school and always being involved, I knew that athletics and sports went hand in hand with nutrition. And what I've found in the field is it's been an excellent way to get some good tips for myself, my family, and just a really practical career that I've been able to mold into nutrition, but also a specialty in diabetes education.
Wow. So you mentioned your athletic career. So I see you on the running trails a lot, the Capital Era Race Series and years past and a number of other races. So I know you're into fitness. So when you were in high school, so what were your three sports?
I played soccer, basketball, and softball in high school.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I did the traditional stuff too, and in my case, this is a million years ago, but it was football, basketball, and baseball. And the fun part wasn't the pre-game exercises and stuff, but it was the actual game and all the practice. Remember, you just can't wait for the coach to stop with the jumping jacks and the push-ups because you wanted to get right to the game. Of course, now, of course, we know, of course, as adults, we really can't be playing, you know, competitive basketball, at least without getting elbowed, knowing you have to go to work the next morning. So, you know, we take up running and we realize, oh, my God, that those are actually the best athletes,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. And I found for running, for me, it was an inexpensive sport. It was a way to just leave the door and go out and exercise on my own or with a friend. And it's always been a big part of what I've loved to do. So looking forward to, as you said, a new decade and a new year to kind of get back on the circuit again.
And that's the thing about running. We all say this, but everybody can do it. Everybody can get a pair of shorts and sneakers and go out and do it. The other thing I like about it, particularly as an older adult trying to maintain some degree of athleticism, you have to be able to, you look at yourself in the mirror when you run, because if you if it's relatively the same course and relatively the same weather, and you do the same 5K, and you do it in 29 minutes instead of 25 minutes, then you're 4 minutes slower. You can't blame the referee or whatever. And I know when I play some other sports, you know, racquetball, sometimes I, you know, delude myself. Geez, I played pretty well today, but, you know, who knows if I did or not. But with running, you know. And the other thing, of course, you can be running like Fred Flintstone, and you know, so you can still, you know, some of my elite running friends always say, well, yeah, but I mean, yeah, it may take you now 2.5 hours to do a half marathon, but think of it this way: you're actually working out for 2.5 hours.
Right.
But of course, you know, in any event, I think running is, you know, an awesome way to stay fit, and we at our in our building at Northeast Delta Dental. We have Tom Walton, who is in a new age category and dominating, and you know, he stays fit by doing a number of sports such as running and paddling and, you know, and weightlifting. Part of the other equation, though, of course, is healthy eating. You know, even if you work out a lot, if you're eating too much or maybe perhaps not the right stuff, that can obviously hurt your physical stature one way or the other. So tell us what, you know, as you think about some tips for the new year, maybe before the first commercial break, we can start with, let's get into three of them.
Yeah, sure. And I think what I like to draw on is as an outpatient, I'm actually outpatient as a dietitian
at
and
Concord
certified
Hospital.
Diabetes yeah. educator at Concord Hospital. And so what that allows me to do is meet with several individuals per day and really get into the nitty gritty of what they're doing for, you know, what they're choosing for food choices and allow us to work together to come up with goals. And so as we think of the new year, I sort of think about what goals can we set, not resolutions, but what things can we work towards. Achieving really some small goals can make a big difference. So I want to start with eating a healthy breakfast. And for many people I see, it's just eating breakfast, period. Okay. Very, very busy lifestyles. Many of us have children or we've got multiple jobs or multiple, you know, things that we're working towards. And it's hard. And we say, oh, I don't have time. But the challenge is that breakfast is like fuel in the gas tank. If you don't get that breakfast in, it can keep you sluggish for the rest of the day. And I think the challenge is that people tend to eat too much as the day goes on. So a patient might come in and work with me and say, you know, I don't eat breakfast. It's not really my thing. And then they eat a little salad for lunch. And then in the evening, they have this large meal or they oversnack. And a lot of the patients I see have diabetes or may be obese or might have high blood pressure, high cholesterol. So we work towards just starting with a simple breakfast. It might be a piece of fruit and some nuts. It might be a yogurt and some almonds. It might be an English muffin with peanut butter. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be quick and easy, but we want to get something in.
So how do you respond to if someone says, well, you know, I'm really not hungry when I wake up in the morning? I mean, I've had to, you know, force myself to, you know, have a light breakfast every day because I'm oftentimes, you know, not hungry when I wake up. So how do you respond to that?
Yeah, and I think I'm actually one of those people as well. Breakfast is not my favorite meal of the day. And so I usually tell them, can we think about a few foods that you enjoy and that you're willing to have? And they might say, you know, I'll have a piece of toast with a little butter in the morning. And you know what? I'll usually say, well, that's not my favorite choice, but can you do it? Can you have some whole wheat toast possibly? Put a little butter on it and then we'll go from there. So it's usually just working with them to come up with some ideas. Do you like strawberries? Do you like raspberries? Can you get a little bit of something in? So can you boil up some eggs ahead of time and have those in the fridge just to grab? I think the biggest thing is if it's quick for a lot of people, and I try to tell them, think about fuel in your gas tank. Food is fuel. Thinking food is fuel rather than what is that great meal that I can sit down and have.
All right. Now, how about rethinking your drink? I know we spend a lot of time at Northeast Delta Dental with other guests and our own educational programs that, you know, soft drinks and even some of the quote-unquote athletic drinks are filled with, you know, sugar that are, you know, are rotting teenagers' teeth out. And so from that perspective, you know, we've been on that, but I'm sure you have the same issues with, you know, beverages that are high in calories and sugar. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So many of the individuals that I see, one of the first things we talk about is what they're drinking. And the reason why is because with all these sugary beverages that are out there, oftentimes the challenge can be that those can raise blood sugars as well as increased weight from those high carbohydrate, high sugar choices. Well, end up leading to insulin resistance and make it really challenging for individuals to be able to keep those blood sugars down. So whether they have diabetes or not, what we know is these drinks, many of these soft drinks, even if they're smaller ones, they have 250 to 300 calories and 60 grams or more of sugar. And once they transition, sometimes people will say, well, what about Gatorade? Well, it has half the amount. It's about 130 calories, and it'll have about 30 to 35 grams of carbohydrate or sugar, but that still adds up very quickly. And in the diabetes world, for every 1 gram of carb, it can raise blood sugar 3 to 5 points. So we have to be careful in how much they're drinking in terms of sugar, because this can make a pretty significant impact.
And I always figured, I mean, it's like liquid calories. I mean, it's hard enough to like, oh my God, I love to eat, but oh my God. And then if you're drinking 300 calories, you know, whether it's soft drinks or candidly hard drinks, seems like a waste of calories. Now, what about if someone says, well, what if I drink, you know, pick any Diet Cola, you know, Coke Zero, Diet Pepsi, whatever, pick one. While it may not have calories, maybe it has other issues? Or?
Yeah. So oftentimes what we get concerned about is there are a lot of artificial sweeteners in that. So we know there's a lot of artificial sweeteners still on the market. They're FDA approved and they're okay. But it's one of those things where I always sort of just guide people. You don't want to have too many of them. The other thing is there are some studies available that state that for some people, the intake of more artificial sweeteners can trigger the brain to want more sweets. And so this is not across the board for everyone, but it may trigger the brain to want more sweets. And so that can lead to some other habits down the road. And then also we know in terms of calcium absorption and really just making sure that we can try to encourage them, if they can, to drink as much water as possible in between.
Now, what about moving on to our third topic before break, you know, grazing on healthy snacks, you know, during the day, and we obviously don't want to do it. We don't want to do over snacking. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I think it's being mindful about those snack choices that we make. A sliced apple with some peanut butter, some whole grain crackers, and some cheese. When I have someone come in that might be overweight and sort of working on trying to cut back on what they're having for calories, I might say, can you pick something that's a whole food? If you feel like you have a hard time stopping and having smaller portions, maybe the apple with the peanut butter is better for you. There's one apple. Then dipping your hand into a box of crackers where you might overconsume what you're eating. So snacks can be very healthy. But it's important to make sure that you choose the correct snacks and not over snacking in the evening, which I think could be a big trigger for a lot of people. I know I sometimes have trouble with that. Too much after dinner, too many calories.
And I want to talk about that, you know, late night dinners and late night snacking. In some respects, it's calories in, calories out. But I do want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. So this is Shauna Bedard, certified diabetes educator, CDE, and a registered dietitian nutritionist. And if someone wanted to reach you, how would they reach you?
So 230-5636, 230-5636 is the front office number over at Concord Hospital, and our diabetes outpatient education department. The physician typically will send a referral over, and then you could work with one of our educators or myself over at the hospital. Also, we have the Center for Health Promotion as well that has many programs. They're 230-7300.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio with Shauna Bedard, who is a registered dietitian nutritionist as well as a CDE, which stands for Certified Diabetes Educator. And Shauna, give us your contact information again.
I'm over at Concord Hospital, Outpatient Diabetes and Nutrition, and the number there is 230-5636.
Awesome. Again, a big shout out to my running friends for participating in the Millennium Mile on Wednesday afternoon just passed. And for those of you that are interested in some winter running, there is the Winter Wild Series. There's one this weekend. When you listen to this, it'll be too late. It's at Magic Mountain in Vermont on Saturday morning, January 4th. But there's a whole series that goes through March. So if you go on the Winter Wild website, if you want to run up and down some mountains and then go skiing, check that out. And Shauna's been a runner for years. We used to run about the same time at some point, I think.
Yeah.
And then you got much faster than me or whatever. So, all right. So we're talking about grazing and over-snacking, perhaps, you know, at bedtime. So we have, as you know, at Northeast Delta Dental, we have our fitness trainer, Coach Tom Walton. And one of the things that he's likely to say is, you know, eat when you're hungry, and don't eat for comfort or like mindlessly when you're on the couch at 10 o'clock at night watching a TV show and you just want something. So he always It's kind of a simple adage. So tell us about oversnacking, you know, at bedtime and the potential effects of that.
Yeah. So what we find is that individuals that oversnack at bedtime, it's not typically I sat down and ate a 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock snack. That's a healthier one. But instead, it sort of ends up being this binging of snacks that happen. And what we do find is that with that binging of snacks, it tends to be too many calories above and beyond what you should have had for the day. So a little bit less to do with, okay, you're going to bed and you're sleeping. And of course, you're not active at that time, but more that you tend to overdo it. We also find, because I work with a lot of patients with pre-diabetes and diabetes, is that with that increased intake in the evening, they're waking up in the morning with higher blood sugars. It's a significant impact. We also know that the liver produces too much sugar overnight for some people that have diabetes. And so sometimes a nice healthy snack at nighttime is actually a really good thing. So a snack with protein and carbohydrate, I've said it a couple of times now, where they have a yogurt in the evening, perhaps like a non-fat Greek yogurt. They do some fruit, maybe some berries and some walnuts or some almonds, can actually be a nice, healthy way to have something in the evening.
Now, you mentioned yogurt. My wife suggested that I ask you this because we have a granddaughter living here at home. She's just turned one right around Christmas, and she loves the Yo Baby yogurt. So I've been all of a sudden, like, I was doing some tasting. I said, my God, this tastes so good. So that's what I eat now. So please tell me that's okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yogurt's great. I think it's excellent for the young kids and I think for adults as well. I think the biggest thing that's a challenge is that sometimes yogurts can have quite a bit of sugar in them. And I think that's the thing we have to be careful with. We really love the Greek yogurt. And the reason why is it's a higher amount of protein in it. It still has some sugar, but because it has more protein, it tends to help to kind of offset that spike. That can happen with blood sugars.
Now, with all your degrees and all the science study you've done, I mean, I know we've come a long way, but then to some extent, some things never change. Because fourth on our list here to consider is eat lots of fruits and vegetables. And I remember my great grandmother and grandparents saying this, and my mother. So apparently, that there was some wisdom in that.
Absolutely. So I think one of the hardest things is that as we talk with individuals about reducing portion sizes, often what comes with that is increase your veggies. If you're cutting back on the amount of rice, pasta, potato you're eating, and you have some chicken with it, or you have some ground turkey, or you have some type of protein, and you don't eat veggies, it's real hard to maintain because those veggies are going to fill you up. So we still want you to get a nice variety of nutrients. We want you to get enough fiber in the system. We have on here, you know, consider half your plate with vegetables. I work with, you know, 8 to 12 patients a day. And as I work with them, some of them look at me kind of cross-eyed like, I don't eat vegetables at all and I have to have half a plate. Well, if you don't eat any, start with a serving. Okay. If you're always having vegetables, can you increase the amount you're having? It's about making small steps.
And speaking of small steps, those small changes can make a big difference. So tell us about some of those small steps. And I assume one of them would be, you know, like don't drink the soft drink anymore.
Absolutely.
Don't overdo the wine at night. I mean, maybe one glass of wine instead of three or things like that.
And that's what it is. It's this definitive sort of approach to say, okay, what couple of things can we work on? An example might be somebody who comes to see me and says in the evening they're snacking several times. And I'll say, can you choose one snack in the evening? We come up with a series of snacks. And then we say, if you're still hungry after that, what about having some raw veggies dipped in a little bit of light ranch or something that's very, very low calorie, or just having some cucumbers or cherry tomatoes, drinking a little bit more, have some water, have a cup of tea to keep yourself busy. So it's really evaluating and looking at what you're doing. And instead of a complete overhaul, instead of the start of a new fad diet in the new year, instead of saying, I just can't do it, looking at it and evaluating and saying, okay, how am I going to make this work? I'm going to start to eat breakfast every day. I'm going to have salad or some type of vegetable with lunch every day. I think it's much more achievable and attainable when it's looked at that way.
You know, and that's true in so much in life. I know in a lot of our major goals we have at Northeast Delta Dental, we use SMART goals, strategic, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-based, but they start with smaller goals that make the overarching goal. So I'm thinking, like, if you drink too much at night, go to one glass of wine instead of three. If you're, you know, if you're having four snacks late at night, go to one and make it healthy, as opposed to having to think you have to do something dramatic. And of course, we all know, or at least have witnessed, you know, these fad diets where someone loses a dramatic amount of weight and then shortly thereafter, it's all back on. So,
and that's what we see happens, is the short-term benefits are there, but the long-term benefits aren't. And I think that's one of the biggest things to say, okay, what is it that I can do that can improve me without having to make dramatic changes?
And of course, if you do drop a few pounds, then of course it's also easier to some extent to exercise. I mean, for obviously if you're knees are killing you, for example, then it's going to be harder to exercise. But as you drop a few pounds and the knees are less sore, then your exercise program can be a little bit more rigorous. And you don't have to, that's another thing, you don't have to overdo, I think.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Get some activity each day. So I have a question someone made sure that I would ask you, which is writing things down, is that a good technique to say, oh my God, you know, I really did overdo it today? In other words, like sometimes I know myself, you think, oh, I really haven't eaten a lot today. But then when you go back, well, I had this and I had that. And oh, when I went to this reception, I actually grabbed two pieces of shrimp, which is 500 calories, or when you write it down. So is that something that sometimes you suggest to your clients?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And we find ourselves that when we have patients that are willing to record, and oftentimes I'll see individuals and some are gung-ho, they're ready to go, they're going to write everything down, and others go, ooh, I don't know. And I'll often tell them, you know, what we've seen is the research really shows that if you're able to record what you're eating, even for the short term. So I really like, because I don't think we need to get too type A about this as a person who's very type A, but having to record every little thing that goes in your mouth, we don't need that to happen long term necessarily. But if you sit there and you evaluate, and especially this time of year, I think we can all evaluate, oh, we've had a couple extra drinks or a couple extra sweets. If you sit down and you start recording either in an app or you write it down, whatever works best for you, it allows you to start to see, okay, wow, I didn't recognize that I was having that. I didn't realize I went in the fridge and grabbed a piece of ham and then grabbed a few extra grapes and then a cookie here. And it really does hold that accountability. And oftentimes when I see people, I'll say, what if you're not willing to do it sort of long term until I see you again in a month and a half or so, what do you think about 5 or 7 days before I see you? So then we can sit down together and we can really look at things and see what's going on.
And that's great. A couple of years ago, I did some work with Nancy Clark, who's a pretty famous sports nutritionist for elite athletes. And again, not that I'm elite, but I read her book and her phone number was in the back of the book. So I called her and she answered the phone. And she, by the way, is totally old school, as in, you know, literally writing down, not these fancy apps and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're right. It works. You don't have to do it a lot, but then you realize, oh my God, you did eat more than you thought. And the other thing is that I think just the discipline of writing things down almost sometimes helps you not grabbing, you know, that extra donut or something like that, because you don't want to write it down.
Yes, definitely. I think we can say that on a personal level. Absolutely.
So this, I've seen that happen. You know, there's some value. So we have about 45 seconds. Again, Shauna, it's great that you're in the community and you do so much for so many people. But as you give one final thought for nutrition in 2020, what would it be?
I've got to go back to that last tip. Small changes make a big difference. It's all about healthy eating goals that are achievable. Take a look at what you're doing and start. Choose an exercise goal and start small if you need to, and choose one goal, one basic small thing that you can start towards, you know, a healthier you for the new year.
So you can achieve it and it doesn't become so daunting that you just give up. And if you think of it, you know, whether it's, you know, school goals or business goals, if something is so grandiose, you know, people tend to give up. And we all know those, the New Year's resolutions that come and go within weeks or days. I love that idea of incremental change. So thank you, Shauna, for all you do. Again, your contact information?
Over at Diabetes and Nutrition Outpatient Office at Concord Hospital, 230-5636.
Thank you, Shauna Bedard. Thank you, listening audience. Happy New Year. Tom Raffio will return with the second show of the new decade next week.